Somebody call out, what's the number of the last verse? 176. Why didn't you keep reading the whole thing, Sean? Great prayer. God, we want to see you with our whole heart. Thanks, mate. And how lovely was it to be led in singing by a couple of ladies this morning? So thank you. It's good to be singing again. Who knows how long we'll be able to do it, though? Hey, you know our brothers and sisters just down the road? So the greater Sydney. They're back to only 100 in church. Anyone inside must wear a mask again. So this COVID dance we've been talking about all through 2020 continues to happen. What we'll do as a church is continue to follow whatever our Premier tells us. And so if you ever have any doubts, so we'll try and get stuff up on Facebook and on our webpage about what regulations we need to follow as a church. But check out the New South Wales Government website. We want to follow whatever our Premier's telling us to do and keep praying. It's tragic right around the world, isn't it? So we need to remember that God is God, whatever 2021 holds. So how about I pray to him and then we'll have a look at Psalm 119. Father God, you sit in heaven and do all that you please. You are God and there is none other. And so we pray now that we would hear you speak. Yes, help us see you with all our heart. We want to worship you, love you, obey you, because you're God. You're our creator. You're our God. You're our God. You're my God. And so we pray this to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, is everything better? We've stepped into 2021. It's a new year. It's a new calendar. It's all going to be better, yeah? I am a guy that likes to look at life through the half glass full lens. I want to be the can-do guy, not the I don't want to try guy. But we also need to be realistic, don't we? There's nothing magical about the calendar. We need more than wishful thinking as we head into 2021. That's why we're beginning the year with Psalm 119. 3 weeks in Psalm 119, and it will not only help us navigate 2021, but every year of our lives. We need to get something crystal clear. The rest of our lives will be filled with painful circumstances. It's ridiculous to call 2020 unprecedented. It forgets about world wars and plagues and other atrocities that happen. For sure, 2020 was terrible. But 2021 might be worse. After all, it's called 2021. I can thank one of you. I forget who it was. I saw your Facebook meme that went up. WON, for those of you who didn't laugh. 2021 might be 100 times better than 2020. We don't know. God doesn't give us a crystal ball, let alone magic calendars. But God does give us Psalm 119, a long psalm that teaches us how to truthfully, honestly, joyfully navigate each and every year, no matter how painful the year might be. Now, the first thing most people do notice about Psalm 119 is it is long. 176 verses. It's as long as some of the shorter books of the Bible. The second thing you'll notice if you read the 176 verses is how often God's word is mentioned. God's word, God's commands, God's laws, God's decrees, God's statutes, God's precepts mentioned over and over. Most verses have something about God's word. And then the third thing you'll notice is that there's these eight-verse stanzas grouped together in eight verses 22 times. And if you've been a Christian for a while, you might have heard it's actually built around the Hebrew alphabet. In the original language, each stanza would begin with the next letter of the Hebrew alphabet. So if you like, Psalm 119 is the A to Z of suffering. And so if you've done a little bit of research on Psalm 119, you'll know it's long, you'll know it's about God's word, you'll know it's built around a Hebrew poem in its structure. But here's what you probably haven't stumbled across. Psalm 119 is promiscuously littered with first-person personal pronouns. I, you. I, me, mine. You, your, yours. Have a look at verse 5. Oh, that my ways may be steadfast in keeping your statutes. Then I shall not be put to shame, having my eyes fixed on all your commandments. I will praise you with an upright heart when I learn your righteous rules. The pronouns, the I to yous, are 4 to 1 more than any of the words used about God's word through this psalm. Psalm 119 is the longest I to you conversation in the Bible. Psalm 119 is not about God's word. Psalm 119 is a personal prayer to God. And for this insight, I'm indebted to David Powlinson and his article, Suffering in Psalm 119. If you ever get a chance to read anything by Powlinson, grab it, read it. But how does that help us? How does Psalm 119 teach us to navigate painful circumstances? Well, first of all, it teaches us who God is by the way the psalmist talks to God. That's why this first sermon I've titled, God is God. We learn lots about who God is by the way the psalmist talks to God. Psalm 119 also gives us 2 reasons why this world is full of painful circumstances. We have 2 enemies, an inner enemy, which the Bible calls our sin, and lots of outside enemies. And so next week, the sermon's titled, God is God, I am not. And knowing that God is God and I am not frees us up to talk to God truthfully, honestly, even joyfully. Freedom comes from living in the reality that God is God, I am not. God, you're powerful. I'm weak. I need you. God, you are full of truth. I am a sinner. Be merciful to me. And so our 3rd sermon is titled, God is God, I am not, here I stand. That's where we're headed over the next 3 weeks. But this week, God is God. Psalm 119 gives us a glorious picture of who God is by the way the psalmist talks to God. Most psalms do teach us something about God. We run to Psalm 23 when we need to remember that God is our shepherd and he's our protector. When we feel abandoned, when we feel alone, maybe we go to Psalm 121. God is always watching over his children. Psalm 119 is littered with glorious truths about God. 176 verses of prayer to God. Over and over and over, we read the psalmist pray, you are, you say, you do. And as we listen in on the psalmist's prayer, we discover many things about God. And so I'm going to read through each verse and say something about all those things about God, and 3 or 4 hours we should be finished. You're not going to allow me to do that, are you? The tech guy's only put in so much battery juice in this microphone, so you don't need to panic. But what I am going to do is run through pretty quickly some of the things that this psalmist says about God. There are only some. You should spend these next 3 weeks reading and praying through Psalm 119. We discover God is our creator and we are creation. In verse 90, you establish the earth and it stands. In verse 91, all things are your servants. You created all things, God. All things are your servants. We're the creation. Verse 64, the earth is full of your steadfast love. Verse 90, your faithfulness continues throughout all generations. Verse 73, your hands made me and fashioned me. Verse 125, I am your servant. The psalmist refers to himself as servant at least 14 times. Verse 94, I am yours. Verse 168, all my ways are before you. Verse 151, you are near. God, we learn that God speaks truth. Verse 43, your law is truth. Verse 129, your testimonies are wonderful. Verse 89, your word stands firm in the heavens forever. Verse 130, the unfolding of your words gives light. Verse 105, some of you can probably quote this. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. We discover God destroys evil. Verse 21, you rebuke the insolent. Verse 84, you will execute judgment on those who persecute me. Verse 119, you have removed all the wicked of the earth like dross. We discover that God is merciful. Verse 68, you are good and do good. Verse 75, in faithfulness you afflicted me. Verse 156, your mercies are great. Verse 50, you comfort me. Verse 114, you are my hiding place and my shield. Verse 26, you answered me. Verse 65, you have dealt well with your servant. Verse 32, you will enlarge my heart. Verse 102, you yourself have taught me. I didn't know how else to do this, just a bit of a drive-by shooting with who God is. That's what Psalm 119 is. You are, you say, you do. Now, how did the psalmist learn to pray like that? Simple. He listened to what God said in other parts of the Bible, and he lived it out. In Genesis 1:1, the opening sentence of the Bible, the five most powerful words in the whole universe, in the beginning, God made. Lord, you are creator of heaven and earth. I am your servant. In Exodus 20, we read that there is only one God. Lord God, you alone are God. You are wonderful and awesome. I gladly worship you. Brothers and sisters, this is not a textbook about God. This is God speaking. This is God revealing. This is where God says who he is, and we discover God is who he says. This is where God declares what he does, and we discover God does what he says. Faith is not reading a textbook in order to pass an exam. Faith is listening to God speak and taking notice. Faith experiences that this is true and so talks back to him in simple sentences. You know, if you were to survey 100 Christians with the question, there's a tongue twister, with the question, what is Psalm 119 about? The top three answers on the board would appear. Oh, it's long. It's about the Bible. Oh, it's a Hebrew poem of some sort. But here's what wouldn't come up. They're all true. But Psalm 119 is not information about the Bible. Psalm 119 is an extended I to you personal simple prayer. God, you are powerful. I love you. I need you. I worship you. God, you are right and true in all your words. I am sinful. Be merciful to me. God, you are strong. I am scared. Help me. Brother, sister, does that sound like your prayer life? It can. And it's really simple. Prayer is simply talking to God. And it's so easy to talk to God. Think about your closest companion, whether they're family or a friend. And now think about how easy it is to talk to them. You know them. They know you. And that makes talking easy, truthful, honest, flowing. The number one thing we need to know to have an awesome prayer life is know God. Whatever you do, don't mishear me. I didn't say know about God. J.I. Packer wrote the book Knowing God several decades ago. It radically changed my life. God wants us to know him, not know about him. I mean, after all, the devil knows more about God than we do. Psalm 119 is a personal prayer filled with lots and lots and lots of you are, you say, you do. This is someone who knew God. David Powlinson, he actually compares the psalm to a wedding reception. You know, there's many people at a wedding reception and you need to move around and talk to them all quickly, don't you? Because there's only a short period of time. And so he compares all of that is said about God in Psalm 119 to someone moving quickly from guest to guest. Lots of little glimpses. Then Powlinson extends the metaphor and says, and in this reception hall, there are many doors. The psalmist walked through these doors to other parts of Scripture. The psalmist is able to pray in verse 68, you are good and you do good because he entered other rooms. He read other parts of Scripture and heard of God's goodness. And so the psalmist was able to pray, you are good and you do good, and was able to respond, and so teach me your statutes. The psalmist didn't simply know about God. He knew God, he loved God, he trusted God, he wanted to obey God because he listened to God. I was watching Big Bash during the week. That's cricket for those of you non-sporting types. Sydney Thunder was taking on the Melbourne Stars and Brian Lara was commentating. Now in his day, he was one of the great batsmen of the West Indies. And Marcus Stoinis was on the player mic. Now, Stoinis is a unit. He exercises and he's built. He shows it. And Lara and Stoinis got into some banter and Lara asked for some fitness tips from Stoinis, to which Stoinis immediately responded, absolutely, in exchange for you giving me some batting lessons. Stoinis jumped all over the opportunity to spend time with an elite batsman. Imagine one of your heroes didn't simply offer an opportunity to get some coaching from them, but called you up and said, hey, can I come around? I think it would be good for us to know each other. The Bible is not a textbook about God. The Bible is God's word. It's God speaking. It's God revealing. This is the place where God declares, I am your maker. I am God. I am powerful. I love you. I want to care for you. And the mature disciple is one who jumps all over the opportunity to spend time with God. The true disciple's desire to know God is insatiable. And God's revelation of himself in here is promiscuous. Our desire to know God is insatiable. And God's revelation of himself is promiscuous. And so bringing all of this back to living through painful circumstances, have a look at verse 71 with me. It is good for me that I was afflicted, that I might learn your statutes. Now, statutes is one of those words that's used in Psalm 119 for God's word, in particular, God's word that's been written down. And so, it is good for me that I was afflicted, that I might learn your statutes. Does that sound insane? Think about an affliction in your life. Multiply it by 100. Does it sound insane to say, Lord, that is good for me. It has taught me you and your ways. Most people walk through life oblivious to the fact that God is God. That God's opinion is not only right, it is decisive. Most people don't realize how utterly dependent we are on God's mercy. To most people, Psalm 119 sounds insane. Psalm 119 is sane humanity. It is the most sane take on life you will ever find. It holds up all the painful circumstances of life and the goodness of God and his promises and personally speaks out of the clash of those two realities. Psalm 119 is from someone who knew that God is God, we are not, and the only sane place to stand is in the reality that God is God. As Palinson exquisitely wrote, in Psalm 119, we overhear sanity thinking out loud, and we realize he's talking to someone. The most important thing about you is what you think of when you think of God. God is God. And that name God is not simply the most pregnant word in history. It's an atom bomb. Three letters that are dynamic and explosive. And sane. Whatever you give your life to in 2021, make sure you spend daily time with your Maker. Enter into daily eye to you prayer with God. Not the God that you make up in your mind, that's insane. But the God who reveals himself in Scripture. I'm going to end with a true story about a a Christian woman who knew her God. And that's all she needed to live through very painful circumstances. Her name was Gwendolyn Burkholder. She lived through two world wars and the Great Depression. Gwen was raised in a time when men went off to work and women stayed at home with the family. And so she was discouraged from school and from reading. But she loved to read. She especially loved to read her Bible and to know her God. And she loved to tell people about her God. And I had the opportunity to read some of her poems and devotions in Bible studies. Now, Gwen was no scholar. She wasn't able to go to school. She definitely wasn't famous. You're never going to read about her in history books. She was an average churchgoer that knew her God. In her latter years, Gwen developed dementia, and she knew it was happening. So you could imagine that would have been devastating. And so I'm going to finish with Gwen's I to You prayer, because I want us to know deep in our soul that the most important thing about us is whether or not we know God. Here's Gwen's prayer. Oh Lord, how precious to me are your thoughts. I seem to keep forgetting that as the heavens are higher than the earth, so much higher are your thoughts than my thoughts, and your ways than my ways. Everything was so comfortable, Lord, and change brings separations and sadness. Tears fall, some outwardly like copious showers, some like mine drip silently on the inside. Will you, O wiper of all tears, wipe these from my overflowing heart and eyes? Make me to know and see the good you plan for all, including me. Help me to lock in my memory store the yesterdays, and assured of your presence, step out eagerly and expectantly into tomorrows with singing and with everlasting joy and gladness. Amen.